Sorry.
That again. Let's start verse 2 again. Thank you.
There was no one.
Christ and why we are so thankful, why we glory in him, as we shall see here in a little while. Let us turn this morning to the 19th chapter of John. John 19. And we will begin with verse 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, that is unto Jesus, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivers me into thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? Chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. I want to call our attention today to verse 17, he bearing his cross. And I want to speak on the fact that it is his cross. This cross belonged exclusively to Jesus. We back up to verse 10, you find out that Pilate thought he had the authority. Don't you know I have the power or the authority to release you or to crucify you? But Jesus certainly knew that that was not true. He said, you wouldn't have any authority at all unless it were given to you from above. That is from God. And so we want to notice today that it was God who gave this cross to Jesus. It is, once again, his cross. We have seen many times that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that simply means that all the benefits of redemption were already in place, not only before Adam was created, but even before he fell. This lamb had been slain to take care of redemption and to bring men back unto God. But we must also realize that there came a day when the penalty of sin had to actually be carried out. We have seen previously how that God could have brought Jesus into the world at any time in history. As we said, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but there had to be an actual carrying out of that. God could have brought Jesus in right after the Garden of Eden. He could have introduced him into the world when men were stoned, or when they were slain with a sword, or burned at the stake, or any other type of death and execution. God could have brought him in our day when we have much more humane ways of executing and killing people. But God brought Jesus into this world when crucifixion was the mode of execution. It was introduced by the Romans, a most cruel people. And we find that this is the way that God chose for Jesus to die. He chose the most shameful and excruciating way. Then what we have with crucifixion is in contrast to these other ways that I've mentioned, because crucifixion is a very long, drawn out, painful death. We are told by some that it could take up to 3 days for a body to die that was crucified there on a cross. That didn't happen to Jesus. I rejoice that God was in control the whole way. We read those stories about how that the soldiers came, and when they saw that Jesus was already dead, they didn't break his legs. God poured out his most severe wrath and judgment on Christ, but he would not allow him to be mutilated. It was God who was in control here. After Jesus died, he was treated with the utmost care and respect, buried with the rich, as the scripture said. It was God who planned all of that. But it was God also who planned his death by crucifixion, because Jesus did not die in a moment of time. It was again drawn out, where God had the opportunity to pour out the most severe wrath and judgment upon sin, as we have seen again and again and again. Once again, Pilate thought that he was in control here, but Jesus said that simply is not so. John 18:11 brings this also out in a different way. After Peter had cut off the servant's ear trying to defend Jesus, Jesus rebuked him and he said, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" The way of the cross, this cup that Jesus was given to him by God, and we know that he drank the very last bitter dregs of it. Today, I want to notice the benefits of his cross. Now, we know that those benefits are absolutely legion. Everything that we have and everything that we are is because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to see four specific things that are related to his cross. Let's turn to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1. And verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." The first great benefit that we see is the reconciliation of man, the reconciliation in heaven and in earth, as we see here. It is vitally important that we understand this reconciliation of all things, because as we see here, it does include those things in heaven and earth. We find out that heaven and earth fell when Satan did. That was long before the creation that we see before us today. We find that God created the heavens and the earth, as we find there in the first verse of Genesis. But then in the second verse we read, the earth was without form and void. God didn't create it that way. Satan and his host fell along with heaven and earth and plunged it into that chaos that we read there in the second verse. And then, of course, Jesus also reconciled after Adam fell. He reconciled heaven and earth back unto God. And so this is a great benefit that is because of his cross, as we read, having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself. But I want to notice that this reconciliation must become even more personal. We indeed are reconciled, and God makes peace with us. We're no longer an enemy of God. Notice verse 21. It must become personal. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And so we have been reconciled through the blood of his cross, no longer an enemy of God, but he has restored us. However, this is the way that God does. We've seen it again and again. He doesn't go simply back to the beginning, but there is much more here for us than just that. Notice that this reconciliation includes more. Verse 22, in the body of his death, or his flesh rather, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is the power of the cross. This is what God has done for us because of the blood of his cross. Been reconciled. It is specifically indeed because of him. And so God does make it so very personal in our experience. And we indeed are those who must lay hold of that power that Jesus has already provided. Notice the second one in Colossians 2 and in verse 14. We read, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Once again, it is his cross that erased all of these things that God had against us. It was God's handwriting. These are decrees that God found wrong. This is not what men find wrong. It's not what the infractions that men think we have committed. These are the things that God has written down. That is his handwriting against us. And it is especially speaking here of those things that are shown up by the law very clearly, that man had sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of that now has been erased. The cross has removed the jurisdiction of the law. And what a tremendous blessing that is to us when we understand it. Men still think that they are under the law, accountable to the law, and all of these things. Jesus nailed all of that to his cross, as the apostle tells us here in this place. And it is so very important for us to understand that for our own victory. And then you will notice, connected, verse 15 is the same connection with his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The power of his cross gave Jesus absolute victory over principalities and powers. We know that was so very important for him. Jesus went back to glory, and as we have seen before, nothing could stop him. He went through all those principalities and powers. We know he had to endure the death of the cross in order to be raised up in newness of life, in resurrection. Death couldn't touch him any longer. We've seen again and again how that Jesus took Satan's greatest weapon and he defeated him with it because death couldn't hold him. And so he achieved this wonderful blessing of triumphing over these principalities and powers. But that stretches on down to us. We read it in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we are victorious for exactly the same reason. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us that great victory. We know that God has poured out such a blessing on us, and we can enjoy the victory over principalities exactly as Jesus did in that day. Then the fourth one we see is in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians 6. And in verse 14, Paul says it this way, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, it is his cross and can only be attributed to him. Paul would give all glory unto Christ. There is no part of our lives that we can claim responsibility for insofar as success or anything of this nature. It is because of his cross that we have the tremendous victory and the righteousness and all of these things that have been provided for redemption. And so Paul says here, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will notice it is the separation that his cross brings in our lives, and it is a double separation. And I think it is so important that we understand and we know here the order of this separation, because God does intend that we should be separated. It is twofold, as we see, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is where God begins to work in our lives. Again, the world is crucified unto me. That is, through the cross, through the wonderful power of his cross, we are indeed separated. We no longer have the desire for the world. And we have seen that in our lives, that God has separated us to the point, separated us indeed unto himself, as we've seen over and over. And it is from the world. We have no desire to partake of these things of the world. We have been crucified, the world crucified unto us, a separation indeed from the world. But you will notice also, I unto the world. And if you haven't found it out already, you certainly will. When we surrender our lives unto the Lord, when the world is crucified unto us, when we are indeed separated unto the Lord in the manner of which he speaks, believe me, the world will not want to have anything to do with us. That's what Paul says here. Indeed, that crucified, as we find here, the world is crucified unto me, but I unto the world. We are cut off from them. They are the ones who are cutting us off. And again, we have seen this over and over, how that there is a double separation. And so we surely do want to be in a place to witness to people as much as we can of the wonderful glories and the blessings of the Lord and the way of his cross. But to join them, not a chance. There is no way that we're going to partake of what they have. And indeed, I say again, men will begin to shun us. They want no part of us. Jesus said at one point, beware when the world speaks well of you. It shouldn't be that way, because we're cut off from the world and the world cut off unto us. It is all because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find today in our world that there are so many different religions. And of course, the Islam coming on so strong and such a threat and so violent and all of that. Once again, what's the difference in that religion and the true religion is his cross. There is only one who died on a cross for the sins of the whole world, and that is Jesus. Every other religion is absolutely vain and empty. And if men do not receive this Christ who bore his cross there at Calvary, they will not be saved. There is no salvation outside of Jesus who bore his cross to Calvary. He is the only one who paid all the penalty for sin that God's government demanded. And so we find, as we read there in John, he bearing his cross. And so today, just as the Apostle Paul said here, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we will do this Communion Sunday. As we remember Christ, we glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he alone deserves all the praise and the honor for bearing his cross the cross that God had given him, the cup that God had given him to drink. He took all of it in order that we might have all of these glorious benefits. And of course, this is just a generality of the benefits, because I say again, everything that we have and everything that we are a direct result of his cross. Let us sing. In case there are those here who have not been with us before, we have no closed communion in this place. We only wait, only ask that you wait until all of the cups have been passed out. Then we will have a short prayer and take this communion service together as we remember Jesus. That's exactly what he said. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And today we remember Christ and his cross.
And I love you.
Again, we are so thankful for your matchless grace and your love. We thank you today for his cross, this cross that Jesus claimed as his own and carried out the ministry and the work that God had ordained for him. We thank you that he was able and he was willing to drink that cup for us. Oh Lord, all of the tremendous filth and corruption and degradation that was due mankind. Oh Lord, we thank you that Jesus bore the penalty for all of that. Each of us can claim that wonderful victory for our own lives, knowing what Christ alone has done on his cross. We just pray today the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow us by, oh Lord, by your great grace. We just pray that you will take us unto yourself. Teach us more and more the value of what Jesus did alone there on the cross of Calvary. We are thankful today we can remember him, give honor and tribute and glory unto him. Pray you will pour out your blessing upon us now as we just simply remember this Christ whom we love so much. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.